Our passage for this morning is 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 from verse 17 of chapter 2 to chapter 3, verse 5. I'll read for us. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. There are two tests that reveal genuineness of our faith. These are two kinds of afflictions, which is persecutions and various kinds of trials. In John chapter 15, verse 20, this is what our Lord Jesus Christ says about persecutions. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Persecution is when you are treated very bad because of your faith in Christ. This ranges from being tortured and killed to mistreatment at work, society, family, and marriage because of your faith in Christ. And what we see in the Bible about various kinds of trials, this is how James summarizes the various kinds of trials for us. James chapter 1, verse 2. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Various kinds of trials are experienced by virtue of just being a sinner and in a sin-cursed world. Sicknesses, money problems, employment, business, accidents, parenting, marriage, you can add on the list. Job went through various kinds of trials. Paul was persecuted for his trust in Jesus Christ. Both these come with immense pain, grief, doubts, questions about the future. And in both these, it is through efforts exerted by believers that afflicted believers are strengthened to stand in faith and be encouraged. What we see in this text, which is something I want to put on display through this sermon, is this: love for the saints should flourish in times of affliction. Love compels believers to serve suffering believers. Afflictions are a call to all the saints to love extraordinary. While afflicted saints are tested through afflictions, Saints around them are tested by efforts they make. And both these reveal the genuineness of our faith. In this passage, from the hearts of Paul, Silla, and Timothy, shepherds of God's flock, we will learn of making efforts to exhort afflicted believers. Three kinds of efforts that you should exert to comfort, give hope, and strengthen a suffering believer. These efforts are for you to pass the test of serving others during their afflictions. In chapter 2, verse 17 to 20, we will learn of enthusiastic efforts, which is our first point, which is to make enthusiastic efforts. Verse 17 of chapter 2. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short while, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face, because we wanted to come to you. I, Paul, again and again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Thessalonian believers were consistently taught about afflictions. And as the shepherds were separated from the church due to persecutions, the persecutions we read about in chapter 2, Paul makes reference of them, and also we read of them in chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. This is what Paul says in verse 3 to 4, that no one be moved by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we are destined for this, for when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer afflictions. Indeed, as the shepherds were separated from the church, afflictions came, and they came as the church was taught. Now, look at the picture that Paul gives us of what was happening in the lives of the shepherds as they were separated from the Thessalonian believers. These believers had come to be very dear to Paul, Silla, and Timothy's lives. That is in chapter 2, verse 8. And hence Paul says about their separation, we were torn away in person, not in heart. Paul, Silla, and Timothy were also hurting from being separated from these believers. But brotherly affection made the separation a very painful one. And that is what played a great role in great attempts made to be with the saints. In verse 17, Paul says, we endeavored more eagerly with great desire. The love they had for these believers did not let them continue with ministry as if there were no suffering believers. And if we can look at chapter 2, verse 19, to look in the minds of these shepherds, when they think of these believers, what comes into their minds? Verse 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Matured believers, this is how they viewed their brothers and sisters in Christ. And it is this love that intensified the purpose and efforts to serve suffering believers. Matured believers, these shepherds, wanted nothing less than to be present face to face with the suffering believers. When sufferings cause physical absence between the saints, that should cause restlessness in the life of the saints. It is from this that we should make efforts to be with a believer who is afflicted. If we recall in John 17, Jesus Christ prayed that the church should be perfectly one. And this bond should cause us to make enthusiastic efforts to serve the afflicted saints. Just last week in Imbali, in two consecutive days, two different taxis at the same spot. These taxis had school children. They capsized, causing death, and many children were hurt from that accident. Families rushed to the scene as they heard of the news. But those who are not family, those sincerely disturbed with what they saw and heard, they were not as compelled to rush to the scene or equally hurt as those with who have the bond with the victims. Like family members, when we hear of a suffering brother or sister, floodgates of love should open. The oneness we have in Christ, the knowledge that we are co-heirs of eternal life, all that should cause us to make enthusiastic efforts to be with afflicted saints. The first thought that should be in our minds is, I should go and see them. Go with an intention to establish and exhort their faith. Physical fellowship is a step towards strengthening a suffering believer. The love for one another is a great setup for this endeavor. Some of our brothers and sisters have been going through various kinds of afflictions, some short-term, some long-term, some permanent, some temporal. Plan to go and be with them in their homes. Invite them to come to your home. Meet with them over coffee. Go see them in hospital. Send a message, make a call. And when we look at all this, it requires effort, intentional and sacrificial effort. It is only Satan who is against plans to go visit afflicted believers. Paul says, Satan hindered us as they were making these efforts, eager to go and see the afflicted saints, the only person who stood before them and seeing the afflicted saints was Satan. It satisfies Satan to see no effort. It satisfies him to see even aimless efforts. And what hinders efforts to be with afflicted saints, it's thinking highly of oneself. It's selfishness. Excuses. We can come up with millions of excuses of not being with the afflicted saints. And this excites the tempter, who is Satan. God is never the initiator of hindrance to go comfort a brother. Like flowers that flourishes in springtime, so is the love for the saints in times of afflictions. This kind of love for the saints is not only a basis for enthusiastic efforts, but also it is for sacrificial efforts. The preciousness of who we are in Christ pushes us as the saints to sacrifice our schedules in order to be with afflicted saints. And in chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 2, which is our next point, we will learn of making sacrificial efforts. So our second point is make sacrificial efforts. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Paul says, therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we went and we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ. Paul says in the previous verse, he says, we endeavored to come to you. And he went on to say, I, Paul, again and again. Paul exerted so much effort, but the opposition was on his way. But that did not stop him to plan to go and be with the afflicted believers. Out of the plans that Silas, Timothy, and Paul made, the one plan that the Lord blessed was the going of Timothy without Paul and Silas. And this is what Paul says when he talks about sending Timothy. He says, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone, and we sent Timothy. This is an expression of a feeling of abandonment or of being forsaken. For Paul, this separation, it was very personal to him, the separation with Timothy. He was separated from his personal help, who is Timothy. Timothy was very faithful and very beneficial to Paul's ministry. And Paul, in other letters, he considered Timothy his son in the faith. He considered him his son. The afflictions of Thessalonian believers caused a great interruption in Paul's ministry. There was now more inconvenience and difficulty in his life because of the absence of Timothy. But because they could bear it no longer, giving up Timothy had to be done. This was not just a let's just do this then plan. It was not that kind of plan. You know, we've tried everything. Let now just do this. But this plan still had the weight of we endeavor to see you face to face. The plan that they finally made, it still had that significance of being with the saints face to face. And Paul, when he describes Timothy, he describes him as our brother, and he says God's co-worker. The goal of Paul, Silas, and Timothy was to be with the believers who were being afflicted. The goal was to be there, to nurture the believers. And the plan to send Timothy alone still carried that same significance of we wanted to come and see you face to face. In their enthusiastic efforts, they could not all go, but the love for the saints motivated them to still act sacrificially. It takes giving up some of your important responsibilities to go and be with a suffering believer. If physical presence is hindered, an alternative plan should still be there, and it should still represent the enthusiastic efforts of physical presence. This is what we see in these matured believers. This is what we see Silas, Timothy, and Paul doing in this passage. Remember, the goal is to strengthen and give hope to afflicted believers. If sending a message supports one's laziness of avoiding being there physically, then it is not sacrificial. If a meal is less effort to you than to be with a suffering believer, you have not interrupted your life. But if both these are within the spectrum of enthusiastic efforts, then go all out. Go all out. Our beloved fellow believers are in pain, doubts, grief, sorrow. We should not exert less than great desires to see believers in trials and strengthen them and comfort them. And to just see them being comforted and to have that joy in Christ. We are members of the same body. If one is in pain, let us all feel pain together with them. If a believer is sick and far, call them. Call them. Let them know you are praying for them. If they are sick and in hospital, use your petrol and tires to go see them. If they are facing marital challenges, invite them over. Go out with them. Be an available shoulder to cry on. Let your life be interrupted for a moment so that you are able to serve the afflicted believers. The enthusiastic and sacrificial efforts are made for the sake of spiritual efforts. We want to influence saints going through trials to continue responding godly under grief. And making spiritual efforts is our next point as we read in chapter 3, verse 2 to verse 5. So our next point is make spiritual efforts. Chapter 3, verse 2. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer afflictions, just as it has come to pass, and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. Timothy came to Paul's knowledge in the faith of the afflicted believers. And the reason he did that was so that they could stand firm with hope in times of trials. These believers, too, were equipped with knowledge about afflictions. And this knowledge, they were given prior to the afflictions. They were prepared. These shepherds had prepared these saints for the afflictions. And in chapter 3, verse 4, Paul says, "For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it had come to pass, and just as you know." Timothy, the enthusiastic and sacrificial efforts of the shepherds, he was sent to go and sit with them at the desk to ensure that they not only remember the answers, but that they answer well. At the same time, he was like an invigilator to observe how students are doing under immense pressure of the exam. Are they reasoning according to biblical knowledge given to them? No silly mistakes. All should pass. No one should fail. That was the intention of these shepherds. They wanted to see no believer being moved by these afflictions. But the peak of all the practical activities to be with the afflicted saints is the Bible knowledge and obedience of it. It is the word of God, correctly understood and applied, that is effective for true comfort, hope, and trust in God. Both the afflicted and those serving the suffering believers should be equipped with the same knowledge. They should be equipped with the same knowledge. While trouble is not, equip yourself with Bible knowledge on steadfastness in times of trouble. Read books like Job, 1 Peter, James, the book of Psalms. In fact, the whole Bible is full of knowledge. It's full of examples. Prophets, the apostles in the New Testament, looking at the church history, believers being afflicted, facing persecutions, others being sick. But during those trials, they were suffering well. So let's be equipped with those examples. Let us be equipped with that knowledge so that when troubles come, we are able to suffer well. We should also memorize verses from the Bible. And there is this verse which is one of my popular verses that I quote in to myself or to others as we go and have fellowship in times of afflictions. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. You read that verse, put it into context, and share it with the suffering believer to encourage them in Christ. In making spiritual efforts, we should make sure we do not become like Job's friends. God disregards unbiblical counsel and counselors. In Job chapter 42, verse 7, this is what the Lord says, "My anger burns against you and against your two friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." Believers should make enthusiastic efforts to visit, to be present, to call, send messages to afflicted saints. Otherwise, counselors with wisdom from below will reach out. And when they encourage in times of marital challenges, they encourage divorce. "Put yourself first," they will say. "You cannot be sick like this. Someone has done something to you. I know a sangoma. I know a prophet who can tell you what to do for your things to be right. It is because of your strong faith that Satan is targeting you. The devil is a liar. We declare healing upon you." These counselors too, they sing, pray. They help in practical ways with all sincerity. But their counsel is dangerous to the soul. Their counsel is dangerous to the soul. And God disregards unbiblical counsel. Afflicted believers, well equipped with biblical knowledge, they are sickened by such counsel. Even Job, he had to stand up against his own friends when their counsel was not biblical. So what we see is that accountability is to both the afflicted and those who are serving the afflicted. Go for hospital visits with a Bible in your hand and read it and give context of what you are reading. Prepare a verse before you call an afflicted saint. Paste a Bible verse or a text or a chapter on WhatsApp and send it to an afflicted believer. Paste a piece of paper with verses on a meal package. It is God's workers, or God's co-workers, as Paul makes reference to Timothy. God's co-workers who are appropriate for effective encouragement to suffering Christians. enthusiastic and sacrificial and spiritual efforts will make us pass the test of serving suffering saints. In the context of this passage, these efforts were applied during persecutions. The Thessalonian church were facing opposition of the gospel of Christ. Paul, Timothy, and Silas, the shepherds of this church, these are the efforts that they applied in order to go and be with the persecuted church. And it is the same efforts, as we have seen from this text, that we should have exert as believers to come along the suffering believers. They work well there too. If you can turn with me to Matthew chapter 25, verse 34 to 40. And from this passage, we'll see what these three efforts will make us achieve. Verse 34 to verse 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Let us go and serve Christ as we serve the suffering believers. Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are our refuge, always, our Heavenly Father, and even in times of troubles, Lord, in this life, it can be sicknesses, it can be marriage, it can be any problems, Lord, of this life, even, Lord, the persecutions because of our faith in Christ. Lord, you are our refuge. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you have provided the church, Lord, as instruments to come along one another, Lord, in times of trouble. That, Lord, through these instruments, Lord, your church, you may give comfort to those, Lord, who are suffering. Our Holy Father, we thank you, Lord, that through your word, Lord, you have given us knowledge. You are giving us tools to use, Lord, to come along one another in times of troubles. Our Holy Father, there are many, Lord, in our church, our Holy Father, this morning, that we think of, Lord, as we go through this passage, that, Lord, we may be encouraged, Lord, to go and be with them. Because, Lord, we have taught us, Lord, that the afflictions, they also reveal the genuineness, Lord, of faith, of our faith, in how, Lord, we come along one another in times of trouble. Lord, we do pray that through your word, Lord, we may be encouraged, Lord, to come along our suffering brothers and sisters, to come along them well, that, Father, they may continue standing firm, our only Father, in Christ, that, Lord, they may rejoice, as James says, count it all joy when you see various kinds of troubles. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that we may go and be with them, Lord, that, Lord, we may reveal, Lord, we may read your word, Lord, and that your Holy Spirit, Lord, may reveal, Lord, the depth of this salvation, the depth, Lord, of this preciousness of salvation that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. That, Lord, we may together behold, Lord, the wonderful glories that cannot be compared with the sufferings, Lord, of this life. That, Lord, our sisters and brothers, Lord, who are going through difficult times, may be encouraged, Lord, to look up to Christ. Lord, to have their eyes, Lord, fixing their eyes, Lord, on what is above, waiting for the appearing, Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we do pray that as you have equipped us, Lord, this morning, that, Father, we may go and make these efforts, that your name may be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.